It's the Steve Fast Show on WJBC. Entomologist Justin O. Schmidt is on a mission, and that mission is to compare the impacts of stinging insects on humans. His primary human test subject? Himself. Schmidt has given the world an overview of his work on this subject in the book The Sting of the Wild, which is a journey into the lives of stinging insects and his firsthand experiences subjecting himself to the thing most of us avoid in an encounter with a bee, wasp, or ant. And we welcome Justin Schmidt to the program. Justin, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us today.
Pleased to be here.
So how many insect stings have you ranked?
Oh, boy, that's a difficult question. I usually go by the generic listing, which is about 83. But within many of the genera, there's several species. So it's probably over 100 different species if you counted all of them.
Now, with each of these stings, did you rank these all by using yourself as a test subject?
Most of them were with me, but whenever I can, I get colleagues. I work with a number of interesting hymenopterists. I'm not the only one that loves these beautiful, fabulous insects. And most of them get stung like I do, so when a reliable source gets stung, I'll ask them, well, you know, that's a species I haven't been stung by. How do you rate that compared to a honeybee? And that's kind of the gold standard. And usually they're pretty reliable. So about 80% or so are mine, and about another 20% are various other people who have corroborated, you know, what I've found.
For this measurement, you have formulated the Schmidt Sting Pain Index.
Yeah.
So is the baseline for the pain of these stings based upon how they felt to you? Are the stings in any way subjective between you or your colleagues?
Yeah, that's one of the problems that there's no real way we can answer directly, because the amount of pain that you receive from a sting could be quite different from me. It could be a lot worse, or maybe you're a lot tougher and a lot less. But the way we get around that, which is, I think, a really interesting, clever way to do it, is that if you get stung by a honeybee and you rate that as a 2, and I get stung by a honeybee, I rate that as a 2, even though it may hurt me more than it hurts you or vice versa, the relative pain is anchored to that 2 of the honeybee. So then if you get stung by something else and you compare it to the honeybee, again, you could get an accurate rating in that comparison, which would be equivalent to what I would have.
So when you take one of these colleagues out with you and say, are you willing to help be part of the measurement for the sting, do you make sure they've been stung by a honeybee first?
Oh, well, virtually everybody I work with has been stung by honeybee. It's really hard to find anybody who hasn't been. And actually, I don't take them out to get them stung. Usually they're doing natural history like I am, and I end up getting an email from them. Hey, I got stung by this Polistes versicolor, for example. That's a wasp that lives down in northern South America. And I'd say, and usually the volunteer, well, that hurt about like a honeybee. It's not particularly spectacular, so I'd give it a 2. And so they volunteer that, and that's one species that you know, I haven't actually been stung by. And they, of course, weren't intentionally doing it. They were out there observing behavior and maybe got a little bit too frisky, shall we say, and a wasp kind of came out and kind of nailed them.
You mentioned that this wasn't something that they were doing intentionally, and in much of the case, it's not something that you have done intentionally. But after you decided to create this pain index and gather this data, did you go out and seek to get stung intentionally?
A few cases, and these were kind of theoretical ones, and they're actually quite an interesting study if you think about it. The stings that really hurt, and of course the ones that we're most intimidated by, are the ones that are readily stingy. You just have to kind of look cross-eyed at them, run the lawnmower over their nest or something like that, and the yellow jackets or the bees will come out and sting you. You don't have to, you know, go to any real effort to do that. Just, you know, be unobservant and shoot on their territory, and you can get stung. But now, the other ones that don't have much of a pain, they're really reluctant to sting. And so the prediction is that based on life history, that these things would not hurt much. So I'm really not all that brave, if you get right down to the bottom line. For example, the mud dauber. It's a long, skinny wasp, about, an inch and a half long, and it's red-waisted. It's kind of an intimidating-looking thing. It makes mud clods above your doors and your buildings, and they catch spiders. People are dreadfully afraid of them, and I thought, well, it's a solitary thing. I've never heard anybody being stung by them. I keep getting asked that, so gosh, I guess we'll just have to see if theory and practice are the same. So you grab them and sting them, and, well, sure enough, it was a 1 on the scale. So it's, you know, pretty trivial, and there's been, I'd say, somewhere around half a dozen, maybe 8 cases like that, and they're all interesting theoretical cases. And the good news is they never, ever hurt, so I predicted pretty well.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Justin O. Schmidt. He is a biologist who studies insects, and in particular, he has developed a pain index of the sting of insects. He's written about his getting stung for science in a book called The Sting of the Wild. You mentioned the fact that some insects are more eager and others more reticent to sting. Do all insects sting for the same reason?
Most of the insects I've been studying sting strictly for defensive value. In other words, they don't want to be eaten, and you're a big, bad ogre that's trying to attack or threaten them or their babies. So those are the ones that I'm studying. But your point is well taken. There's a great many wasps that actually sting to paralyze their prey or to inactivate prey, which then they take and usually feed to their young either directly or put them in a cell and lay an egg on it. Those stings, by and large, I think the most painful one of any of those that actually use paralytic or inactivating venom on other insects or spiders, I don't think any of those hurt more than a 1 because that's not their primary use. Their primary use is, well, dinner for babies.
Does the level of pain, or maybe how long the pain lasts when you get stung, tell you then about the venom?
Oh, yes, definitely. If it's something that doesn't hurt very much and you can tell that it's a wasp or something like that, chances are it's a parasitic wasp that's stinging caterpillars, flies, crickets, or something like that. And it's not at all interested in me. It only deals with me. Well, out of desperation, you know, if you get grabbed by a great big predator, you know, say a saber-toothed cat or something like that, you're going to fight and scratch and kick it in the belly and try to make it go away. They'll do the same thing. They'll try to sting us. Even though it's not very effective, well, better than nothing at all.
Well, before you started to collect this data, was there a lot known about the properties of the venom of many of these insects?
The main kind of white rat of insect venoms was always the honeybee. And that had been studied, for over 100 years back in the 1800s. Some, particularly the German scholars, were studying them, and they were debating whether it had formic acid or some other strange things, chlorine, various things that they were trying to sort out. Chemistry is a little primitive. It wasn't until Ernst Habermann in the 1950s, another German scholar, started really pioneering work. So we knew a whole lot about honeybee venom. We knew a little bit about some of the yellow jackets. We knew a little bit about some of the Australian bull ants. But other than that, really we didn't know much of anything until, you know, I sort of said, hey, this is kind of a cool subject. So I started on it.
As I look at the book and I look at the variety of insects that you've ranked and been stung by, some of these seem very intimidating. I mean, you have some that are high up on your pain scale and some that have even intimidating names like tarantula hawks. These things seem dangerous. How dangerous is this? Are these insect stings in any way poisonous, or do they have the potential for lasting harm?
That's a good point, and it turns out that actually none of them do, which is, you know, really good, because people often ask me, well, how does this compare to, say, a black widow spider bite or a scorpion sting, and say, oh, gosh, I don't know. I'm certainly not going to get stung by those, because those can be medically important. But there's none of these stings, you know, do anything other than big ouch factor. You get a little swelling. If you get stung around your eye, maybe you'll have a puffy eye and not be able to see out of one eye for a day or two. But wait 3 or 4 and you're, you know, none the worse for the wear, just a story to tell your grandchildren, and that's about all the damage that's been done.
What is the longest lasting sting, the one that, that had the most effect for you and you were still feeling it later?
Oh, the clear winner is what we call the bullet ant. Now, that's the direct translation from the Spanish where it's called the bala, which is bullet. And these hurt me. I guess I got them off me fairly fast, so they only hurt me for about 12 hours. But if you look in the literature, there's reports of people that are still suffering pain 36 hours later. And these are usually people like botanists who are often, you know, looking at plants and kind of fumbling around in the forest floor down in the Amazon trying to figure out who's this fruit, who's this connected to, what kind of plant is this thing. So they're all preoccupied. Sure enough, they sit on a bullet ant or something, get really nailed. And those can hurt, like I said, 24 to 36 hours. And it's not fun, I can assure you that.
Is it something that you would never do again?
Never voluntarily been stung by them. I, out of enthusiasm, or sometimes they'll just kind of sneak up on you. I was digging up one colony, and a worker came cascading out of the canopy, bounced off my cheek, and stung on the process. It just glanced. It didn't even stick. It just bounced off my cheek, and it got me. Now, the good news was it got like 0.1% of a normal sting in me, so it just kind of felt like a mild honeybee sting. So it was pretty, I was pretty lucky there. But, you know, usually these things are, I don't know anybody other than somebody that's been paid a lot of money or really wants to go through puberty rites again, or the first time if you're a native person, that uses these as rites of manhood. But otherwise, I don't think they want to get stung either. It's just, you know, kind of the thing that you have to do in your culture.
So what advice do you give people? I think sometimes people have a real emotional reaction whenever they see a stinging insect. And, you know, there's a lot of fear. You understand these creatures very, very well. For the most part, they probably don't want to sting us. What can we do to make sure we don't get stung?
Yeah, basically, stinging insects, you're quite right. They don't want to sting us because think about it from getting inside the insect's head. It's risky. You know, here's something that's a million times bigger than me. It can squash me and turn me into a little splot real easily. So why should I risk my hide? The only reason they're going to do that is if they figure the risks are so great that it's worth taking the risk of defending to chase you away. So with that in mind, how you can reduce your chances of getting stung are, first of all, don't act threatening. You say, well, what on earth does that mean? It means basically a predator is usually something that's a big animal. It's something that's wildly active and peppy and, you know, it's trying to attack. So don't flap your arms or flail or swat at them because that's a sign of, like, attack. And so stay still and hold your breath. That's the most important cue for these stinging insects. They know, oh, somebody's got the mouth. That's the business end, the part that's, like, going to eat me. And that I'm real close to that. That's really dangerous. So hold your breath so that they no longer can detect you as well as before. And then sort of just back away, you know, try to figure out where it's coming from. If it's a nest at the edge of your garden or something, you know, back out. Once you get a few feet away, you can usually turn around and walk, or if you had one stuck in your hair, get stung. As for hair, I tell people carry a comb because they don't want to get stuck in your hair, but if it's fluffy and, you know, they are buzzing around inquisitive and they, somewhere where the wind blows and they get stuck in your hair, they're going to try to escape, but they're in defensive mode on steroids. They're really trying to get out of there, and they'll sting instantly. So if you carry a comb, you can get that between your scalp and the insect, and you can comb it out, which is a really nice way you swat it. Oh, I've done that on occasion, but unless you do a swatting, rubbing blow, you're not going to kill them. You're just going to make it worse. And if you do swat them hard enough to kill them, you're going to get a headache out of the blow, which is probably worse than the sting would have been. So, you know, use a comb to get them out there. Otherwise, I tell people, look at them, enjoy their beauty. You know, they're gorgeous insects. Don't panic. And look before you leap, you know, when you're working around the yard or out doing something in nature, especially this time of year where the wasps are out and there's bees around. You know, look before you, do whatever activity just to make sure you don't set up near their nest, because that'll kind of threaten them and get you into some trouble.
Justin O. Schmidt is the man who gets stung for science. He writes about it in his book, The Sting of the Wild. Justin, thank you so much for talking to us today.
It's been my pleasure.
It's the Steve Fast Show on WJBC.